Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Book, your weekly spiritual book club. I'm Alice Shelton and I'm glad to be here again this week with my good friend Lori Strawn. How are you, Lori?
I'm good, Alice. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Pretty sunny day here, thankfully. Saw one tree changing colors this morning, so fall is probably on the way.
Hope so.
Well, the title of our book, the title of the discussion this week, which is not about a book, it's about a couple poems, is called Doubt with Support, I Think, from Walt Whitman's poetry. So that's kind of my play on how doubtful it feels to be me today and this week and this month and this year. So, well, as you know, Lori, I've picked two selections. Both of them are Walt Whitman's poetry, pieces of poetry. One of them is called Faith Poem. So I'm going to go ahead and start with that one, and then I have a couple questions about it.
Okay.
But it is lengthy, so settle on in. Get a little glass of wine or something and settle in.
All right.
I need no assurances. I am a man who is preoccupied of his own soul. I do not doubt that whatever I know at a given time, there waits for me more which I do not know. I do not doubt that from under the feet and beside the hands and face I am cognizant of, are now looking faces I am not cognizant of, calm and actual faces. I do not doubt but the majesty and beauty of the world is latent in any iota of the world. I do not doubt there are realizations I have no idea of, waiting for me through time and through the universes, also upon this earth. I do not doubt I am limitless, and that the universes are limitless. In vain I try to think, how limitless. I do not doubt that the orbs and the systems of orbs play their swift sports through the air on purpose, and that I shall one day be eligible to do as much as they, and more than they. I do not doubt there is far more in trivialities, insects, vulgar persons, slaves, dwarfs, weeds, rejected refuse, than I have supposed. I do not doubt there is more in myself than I have supposed, and more in all men and women, and more in my poems than I have supposed. I do not doubt that temporary affairs keep on and on, millions of years. I do not doubt interiors have their interiors, and exteriors have their exteriors, and that the eyesight has another eyesight, and the hearing another hearing, and the voice another voice. I do not doubt that the passionately wept deaths of young men are provided for, and that the deaths of young women and the deaths of little children are provided for. I do not doubt that wrecks at sea, no matter what the horrors of them, no matter whose wife, child, husband, father, lover has gone down, are provided for, to the minutest point. I do not doubt that shallowness, meanness, malignance are provided for. Well, I think that's the end of it, although it does seem a bit cut off to me. I'm wondering if I missed a part. Did I? Maybe. Who knows? At any rate, I think we get the flavor of what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you think, Lori, is doubt the opposite or absence of faith? I mean, he's saying,
so.
I do not doubt a lot, but okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's the opposite. I think doubt can live with faith as a component of faith or a shading of faith that can even make faith stronger. I think we can have doubt in ourselves that we live quietly with and faith in ourselves, just as we can have faith in God. It's not that I doubt God, per se. It's that I doubt that my vision of who God is complete, or that heaven will look the way I think it will look, or that anything I know, I really know. I can have faith and believe in my vision of God and heaven and myself while still recognizing that those things are mysteries. And in fact, I stumbled on an article today in the National Catholic Reporter that said, and I quote, "The opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's false certitude," which I found really interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. That's like the opposite of the opposite.
It is. Hmm. It turns it
into
a negative.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, what is your reaction to this poem? I mean, I said we were going to talk about doubt, but then we start with a poem called Faith. I mean, why does he use this "I do not doubt" language?
Well, I do not doubt, and then he goes on to say things that sound as if he does doubt, or that at least he wonders about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those two things are consonant. I think that doubt lives with faith and makes faith stronger. It's almost as if you never doubted your faith, if you never doubted anything, you would still see the world as a little kid. You know, you'd believe in Santa Claus. You'd never
mm-hmm.
grow up. You'd never have an adult experience of a spiritual life. So
mm-hmm.
I think doubt has to be part, or you wouldn't grow.
I think it does too. I'm grappling a little bit with the technique that Whitman's doing here, using
mm-hmm.
here, because he is seeming to say, in his own word selection, instead of saying, "I have faith in the knowledge that from under the feet and beside the hands and face," da 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 da. He
mm-hmm.
uses "I do not doubt." He uses he intentionally uses the negative. So it would suggest to me that the absence of doubt is more supportive of faith than not. Maybe I'm overreading it, but I don't believe that.
No.
I align with what you're saying, but I'm feeling like he is. He is really using these things as the opposites of one another.
Yeah, but I also think that, what was I going to say? That even though he says he doesn't have any doubts, he's diving into these worlds that are so huge that I think he's allowing for the fact that he also doesn't know all those things. He doesn't doubt that there is more in myself than I have supposed.
But yeah,
just looking,
that's the one I went
to. Thinking about that concept, that's so huge. That's he's admitting the unknowable into what he says he knows.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. You said that well. Because as you get more in the middle parts of the poem, you get into what I would say are just kind of great, shadowy, huge concepts like
the
impact your poetry could have. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even
when he
says, "I don't doubt that deaths are provided for." Well, who knows how they're provided for? I don't. Do you?
Right.
Nobody does.
Yeah. But we just know they are. Or
exactly.
I believe they are. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I actually really like the poem a lot. I mean, it really, the first read through, I thought to myself, boy, when you think of the time at which this was written and his age and all the things we know about Walt Whitman, it's amazing how much I can imagine myself sitting down and writing this or something similar to it or thinking about it.
Maybe that's a call for you to do something like that. You know, a poem in the style of or in the spirit of.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've got I believe I have a book with this in it at home that's just this really lengthy, lengthy, lengthy thing of his numbered works. So I'll have to look and see. Interesting. Let me get back here. Do you think, as Whitman is doing here, that wondering about things or trying to explain them or clarifying them, is that the same as doubting?
Maybe it's sort of the edge of doubt or like a subtler color of doubt, maybe. It sounds more open-minded and less fearful to say wonder than to say doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because to wonder is just to sort of recognize that there's so much more out there to learn. It's more like curiosity. So maybe it's like the happier side of doubt, but I think at heart, both of those states recognize the limitations of what we know and seek further answers. And maybe doubt just gets a bad rap.
Well, I want to talk about doubt getting bad rap because I have been thinking about this. I've been thinking about the production Doubt. I think it was also made into a movie. It probably was mm-hmm. a book. I saw a play
yep.
called Doubt. And really, in my mind, what I'm connecting here is what is the outcome of doubt being introduced in that setting, or the outcome of doubt, like if one of my sister's teenage sons had a little untruth told, and my sister found out about it, and so there's doubt in her now, and so doubt is then growing into distrust, and
mm-hmm.
So I think that when you look at doubt from the religious theological perspective, do you have the same sorts of thing? I mean, is distrustfulness a result of doubt when you're talking about wondering and looking at the greatness of things in the same way that it is in that stage play that I referenced called Doubt? You know what I'm saying?
I do. It's like there's different shades of doubt, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think doubt in a religious sense is the same as, I doubt that you are telling me the truth because you've lied to me 3 times.
Okay. But what about people trying to build cases about doubt? You know, intellectual doubt.
In what way?
Well, I'm just trying to think about, it seems like some of the, maybe moral arguments or persuasions that people try to make to convert you to one way of thinking or another theologically are similar to me to you've lied to me 3 times, so I'm we're stacking the evidence against you to increase the level of doubt, which is kind of then what makes me wonder, is doubt in and of itself, when you think about it regarding the existence of God, is doubt a work of evil or a work of good? Is it a work of God, a work of the devil? Any of those?
I think, yes, the devil can use doubt, but I think God can use it too. And I think that they can both use faith in the exact same way, because faith can be blinding in many instances, because it causes us to not question ourselves properly or look at our actions or beliefs. I think it all depends on what you do with your doubt or with your faith. Do you use it to grow, or do you use it to tear somebody down? Do you do it to belittle God's gifts? So I don't know. I think it's intention is key here.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it is too. I'm glad I just kept going on and on and on, but I do too. I mean, I think faith. That's what got me thinking about doubt in the first place, and then faith in the second place. And it is that because I don't feel like I'm a person who has a significant amount of doubt about big theological things, I guess. Or maybe, I don't know. And I also feel like I have a lot of faith that I think, well, is that just arrogance? Is that just a false certitude, as you say? So then I'm doubting that I'm not doubting, and then it's kind of growing and growing, and that's what's been worrying me, honestly. That's what's been worrying me, and I've been talking about it a lot. So
I think that's called neuroses.
I think you're right, Lori. I think you're right.
No, honestly, I think there are some things that I have fewer doubts about or no doubts about than I did perhaps 10 years ago, and in 10 years, I'll probably have different doubts or different certainties than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
normal.
Yeah. And I know I don't worry about, if I do have doubts, I don't worry about the doubts. I mean, that feels, it feels like a pretty okay process. Yeah. Yeah. So I have neuroses, but I'm not worrisome. Well, listen, let's go into one that, that actually is named after the subject we're talking about. This is, again, Walt Whitman, and this one is called Of the Terrible Doubt of Appearances. Of the terrible doubt of appearances, of the uncertainty, after all, that we may be deluded, that maybe reliance and hope are but speculations after all, that maybe identity beyond the grave is a beautiful fable only. Maybe the things I perceive, the animals, plants, men, hills, shining and flowing waters, the skies of day and night, colors, densities, forms, maybe these are, as doubtless they are, only apparitions, and the real something has yet to be known. How often they dart out of themselves, as if to confound me and mock me. How often I think neither I know nor any man knows aught of them. Maybe seeming to me what they are, as doubtless they indeed but seem, as from my present point of view, and might prove, as of course they would, not of what they appear, or not anyhow, from entirely changed points of view. To me, these and the like of these are curiously answered by my lovers, my dear friends. When he whom I love travels with me, or sits a long while holding me by the hand, when the subtle air, the impalpable, the sense that words and reason hold not, surround us and pervade us, then I am charged with untold and untellable wisdom. I am silent. I require nothing further. I cannot answer the question of appearances, or that of identity beyond the grave. But I walk or sit indifferent. I am satisfied.
Now that sounds like what you've been talking about very much.
In what way?
Just the way that he's saying that he's doubting doubt and then doubting that he doesn't doubt, and yet comes to a place of being okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole tone of it, and you know, I get into technique so much when I, 'cause I just really do love poetry these days. The whole tone of it changes at the end, doesn't it? It's almost like he has this realization. Yeah, I think that, you know, I wasn't conscious of what you just said happening, but I remember when I read this for the first time thinking, oh, this, I read it through once and thought, well, that's complicated. I read it through again and thought, well, that speaks to me, and especially the latter part of it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Do you think, and I think if I had to guess, and I didn't look the dates up of when these things were written, but I would guess that he wrote these, he might have not been the same age when he wrote these two poems. And one of the reasons that I think about that, or at least if he wasn't, if he was the same ages, he feels more disturbed in the second one than he does in the first one. The first poem feels kind of light and airy, and it could have been written on the side of a brook. The second one feels like, you know, was written in the middle of the night. You know, he wasn't feeling good, whatever. So I don't know if you have that sense, but so I'm assuming that the second one was written when he was an older man. So that makes me question to myself, you know, does doubt, do we doubt more as we get older, or do we doubt less as we get older, or do you think it's very specific to a person? Do you think doubt and fear have to do with one another, I guess?
I guess I can only really speak for myself. I think I feel surer of some things, and yet because I'm older, I realize that there is so much more out there to learn or examine than I knew before. So, you know, in some ways, yes, in some ways, no. But if doubt is a sign of growth, then maybe we shouldn't ever stop doing it.
And I certainly would say to you that I think wonder and awe are signs of growth. the ability to just see things.
Absolutely.
And open your eyes and experience senses. Yeah.
And yeah. I think that's something that children may be better at than grown-ups.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think we lose that capacity a little.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason, too, is that I think wonder has to do with, is a very sensory experience. And I think children are much more tuned into their sensory experiences. They're much less worried about controlling their words, their, you know, just themselves,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're less worried about what other people think about them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think God has any reaction to our doubt?
Well, since you brought up fear, I think God wishes that we wouldn't fear so much, or that we wouldn't doubt out of anxiousness about God's self. But I also think God made us. God knows that humans are curious and we're seekers. And I think God likes it when we push the boundaries and look for answers because, you know, that's how we do better. That's how we modernize. That's how we grow. Otherwise, we'd be kind of stunted for our whole lives.
Yeah, I think so, too. For some reason, this part of thinking about doubt kind of makes me think about the whole concept of theology and science, or religion and science. And it's another clarifier for me of why those things have never been mutually exclusive or in conflict with one another, you know, that scientific fact and growth and all that can happen and change, and still there can be theology and spirituality. Those things don't have to, they're not mutually exclusive is the only way I can say it.
Oh, not at all.
And I think that our science and our learning and education speaks to part of how we handle and understand doubt and live with doubt. You know, we get more information, which can make us more or less doubtful, but it certainly, it helps us explore. It helps us have wonder. So I can really see all those things tying together. And again, I come down again on a strong argument for why are we having these conversations, that these things have to be in conflict with one another, when I just don't see it that way.
Oh, absolutely. I think a little doubt anyway is a sign of being intellectually sound, because as you've said before, you'd have to be arrogant to think you have all the answer and know just exactly how the world operates in every small way. And also, if your beliefs can't stand up to questioning and scrutiny, then how good are they?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I tend to take questioning and scrutiny almost always as being critical. And that's something I think I'm getting better at as I get older, that truly there are genuine seekers of information. And there are skeptics who, you know, skepticism gets a bad rap, too, as a word that always is
very much
seen as negative. Discrimination, for that matter, does as well. When you really get to the root of those words, that we have such emotion-charged language sometimes. And I think doubt falls in that category, as does faith. So, I don't know. I have no idea where I'm going with this, but these are just things that I think about.
No, I see exactly where you're going. I think faith is always seen as a positive. If it's based in false religious certitude, then you're probably not going to do good things. You're probably going to offend other people. You might even hurt other people because you think that there's only one way that can possibly be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think of other words, and it's not just religious words, but I have some. I mean, the religious words tend to be charged with emotion or meaning. Evangelical is another one. You know, I at least assign some negative emotional response to that, but a lot of people do not. You know, and that's, you begin to understand how much how easy it is for us to continue to miscommunicate because we have so many things assigned to the language that we use, which I think
yeah.
you and me as women have always said that. I mean, we totally get that. I was in a restaurant with some of our Woods friends this Saturday, and a female waitress walked in and said, "Hey guys, how are you?" And I thought, who would ever walk up to a table of men and say, "Hey gals, how are you?" You know, just that we accept that as being, you know, is not, I mean, again, I know not, don't make a big deal about it, but it is kind of dumb, really.
It is. Although I have to say, you know, having grown up in California, I do tend to call a lot of people dude, even women sometimes.
Oh, I know. That's embarrassing. I can't believe you just said that in public, but anyway.
Sorry.
Well, I wish I had some grand closing remark to make about doubt. But, you know, as you know, for about 3 weeks, I've been wanting to figure out a way to work it into our discussion. So I had a little help from our friend Walt Whitman in doing just that. So unless you have any parting words you'd like to share on doubt, Lori, anything?
Actually, I was kind of thinking, what are like three things that you are absolutely positively sure of? That you don't doubt at all?
About
the world?
I have no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that love is the answer to really every issue. If you love enough, you can make it work out. So that would be number one. I do absolutely believe that there is, that God exists, and I'm just going to say that because if I go further, I'm getting into my three. It's like genies wishing for, what's your first wish, that I have endless wishes. And I believe about myself that I have been made as a questioner who will spend my life doing that. I will never feel comfortable that I have all the answers.
I agree, and I think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, I do too. And I to add a fourth one, I also believe that the questioning and the process and journey gets better with each decade that you live. It is different every decade, but the depth of it changes and, for me, enhances, and the questions get deeper and bigger, and I'm more comfortable with the lack of certainty, which I'm liking a lot. I'm liking a lot, although it's hard sometimes.
What about you? I hope it continues.
Yeah, me too. What three things about you do you know with certainty, or about the world, or as you say, whatever?
It's funny. The first thing that comes to mind is, I have no doubt that I can reach things on the tallest shelf at the grocery store.
You're so deep. That's hilarious.
So maybe that's where we should close.
I think that's a good idea, Lori. But,
okay, folks,
we'll be back next week. Lori will be in charge of our discussion topic, so I know it'll be fun. And until then, if you're looking for God, just open a good book. Have a great week.